Foxconn says it's stopped using illegal student labor, and all that food you're cooking today could help cool our climate. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Happy Thanksgiving, folks. Now, Foxconn, a main supplier for Apple's iPhone, says it's stopped student interns doing illegal overtime at its China factory. It follows high demand for the new iPhone X. Yuan Yang of the Financial Times reported the problems earlier this week.
Schools will tell students you have to go on this work experience placement for, say, 3 months or you won't be able to graduate. So the regulations, one of the most clear ones is that students can't do overtime. And this was what was in particular being violated at the Foxconn factory that I went to. And there are also other regulations about how they must be compensated and also that they must do something related to the discipline that they're actually studying. So it's relevant to their studies rather than just being add-on labor for a factory.
Now, Foxconn is obviously globally known because it's a supply for the iPhone. How widespread is this kind of thing in China generally?
It's the whole electronic supply chain. So those are the kinds of supply chains where it's quite prevalent to see factories turning to students as a source of flexible labor. As one manager said, you can just order the students whenever you need them and they'll just arrive from the schools, especially if, as was the case with Foxconn, the local government is helping support the factories.
Yuan Yang. Let's do the numbers. Markets in Asia and Europe are mixed. The Nikkei closed up 106 points or 0.5%. London's FTSE is down 16 points or 0.2%. Now, I can almost smell the turkey roasting, the sweet potatoes cooking in butter. I'm not mentioning food just because it's Thanksgiving, but because new research out in the last hour says cooking fats released into the atmosphere could help cool our planet. Dr. Christian Prang is an atmospheric chemist at the University of Reading here in Britain.
Those molecules, they have particular properties, so they have the ability to stay at the surface of water droplets. So most of the droplets in the atmosphere are made out of water. And these molecules, they stay at the surface, and that means they can help the droplet become larger and larger and turn into a cloud. And clouds are able to cool the planet, so it will have an effect on the cooling effect of clouds.
So can you put that into some perspective? Because I'm thinking, wow, my Thanksgiving meal today could be countering in some small way the effects of global warming.
There are many good reasons to have a good meal at Thanksgiving. I think counteracting global warming might be a small reason for that. But what is needed now is more research trying to establish how large this effect is.
Christian Prang, so you can fry those potatoes with a clearer conscience today. Now, fake news, pornography, even a gun-toting Disney princess. There's a lot of violent content on the web. Google would have to employ 75,000 people working 8-hour shifts just to watch the stuff uploaded to YouTube. So should those filters be human or algorithms? Elliot Higgins is an investigative journalist with Bellingcat. He uses social media to document Syrian war crimes. In August, Google deleted thousands of his videos, and it was largely down to the automated moderating system.
Very early on in the conflict, we saw Twitter, YouTube and Facebook being kind of the main conduits for information from people on the ground. And over the years, this kind of became the de facto situation. If you're a Syrian opposition group, you know, be they an armed group or a kind of human rights organization, that's where you put your videos. A lot of these groups are now feeling like the kind of the rug's being pulled out from underneath them, because all of a sudden the videos they've been putting online to kind of document these crimes in Syria have been deleted.
Dr. Sarah Roberts studies moderating as an assistant professor of information studies at UCLA.
Automated moderating is certainly effective for known content, copyrighted material that platforms are attempting to filter out. But for material that is coming from somebody's cell phone somewhere in the world, there's no way to check against that. Then we introduce the many layers of human sophistication and nuance that is required to make decisions about whether or not that material should stand. And this is where the work of skilled human beings comes in to make those kinds of decisions. Using AI and other automated mechanisms to deal with content moderation is the holy grail of all platforms. But the reality is that to get up to scale quickly and efficiently, human labor is required. And that is what the major platforms are employing in terms of addressing their moderation needs.
But given the sheer volume of the content, isn't it just the case that you're going to need algorithms more just to get through all of it?
Well, it would be a misconception to suggest that all content is reviewed in any capacity at all in the first place. The simple fact is that content in general goes up on good faith and the hope that it's not something egregious. In some cases, workers that I spoke to were being asked to make decisions about material within a matter of seconds, 10 seconds. So calls on a range of very highly sophisticated human skills, linguistic, cultural. So it's a very challenging work environment.
Shouldn't it be a better paid job? I mean, if you were talking to the platform companies, would you argue that there are dividends for them?
When you think about the work of content moderators, they are seeing that material over and over again, and they're doing it on the behalf of all of the world's users. From a business standpoint, what these workers are doing is an essential brand protection function. So when Facebook or YouTube has a piece of content that is so abhorrent as to cause scandal, shock, outrage among the user base, that is actually a disaster financially and from a PR perspective.
That's Dr. Sarah Roberts of UCLA in London. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.